Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Best Self Radio. I'm excited to have another guest on the show this week. This week we have Kendra, and she is going to be sharing her story of a mother of two, someone who is very into fitness, and someone I met at One Academy. So I actually don't know too much of her story, which is exciting because I feel like a lot of time when I interview people, I kind of know them a bit better. So I'm really excited to hear her story just along with you guys. And we're really going to be focusing in today on just helping mothers in particular, or women that are potentially looking to become mothers, kind of in that stage in their lives, helping them navigate working out. Because they're, you know, it's getting better, but there still is a lot of misinformation, and we can feel like we might be doing harm if we're working out, or like the postpartum, you know, recovery journey. So she's just going to share her insight, and someone who is quite active herself and who I've seen like at the gym about to give birth, and you're killing it. So I'm just really excited.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just really excited to have this conversation. So Kendra, welcome to Best Self Radio.
No, thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited that we're able to do this. And yeah, no, I appreciate the intro. I feel like I have gone from having a different life to being a mom of two, and then having a new kind of resume, a new bio to tell.
For sure. Yeah. Why don't you just start with sharing your story? What do you do for a living? Because I don't think fitness is the only thing you do for a living. I guess, like, you know, before, I mean, I think you still do it, but are you on mat leave right now?
Yeah. So I definitely have multiple hats. I do have a full-time job. I am on mat leave with my second child, my little girl named Imogen, and my son, who is now, he's 22 months old, Harry. Imogen is 5.5 months old, so they're 17 months apart. I am in an urban planner, so that's my, I guess, my daytime job. You can hear Miss Imogen in the background, by the way. She is right next to me currently having a bottle and not napping. So I'm an urban planner by trade. I got into fitness while I was in grad school, actually, and it began as a way to just make ends meet. I wanted to be a part of these gyms. I was going to school in New York, and I wanted to be a part of these gyms that were just far too expensive to be a part of. Mm. So I went into their training programs, and it started as what I thought would just be a side gig to turning into what has become a real, real passion of mine, and one that I hope will take me far into my 80s, 90s, and so on.
Incredible. I love that. So I know you're a spin instructor. Do you teach other areas of fitness, or is it just spin?
No. So right now, yes, I'm a spin instructor. I don't even know if we're allowed to say where we teach, but I teach in Toronto. I teach at SpinCo, and I teach there 3 times a week. And I am also certified in yoga and barre. So I have those certifications while I'm not actively teaching any of those courses right now.
Amazing. That's awesome. And did you teach spin like right up to giving birth?
Yes, I did. So interestingly enough, and something that really, I guess, has grown with my fitness journey, as one would have it, when I became pregnant, I reached out to a friend of mine who's also a spin instructor, and I asked her, you know, how long did you spin for? And she gave me such great advice. And she said, I spun until it wasn't fun anymore for me. And this came from the background where her and I share a similar background, and that we work out regularly. We're very active people. Both of our pregnancies were relatively healthy pregnancies. We didn't have any limitations from doctors or the health limitations that would bar us from being able to be active until it wasn't fun anymore, I say in quotations. So I took that mantra with me through my first pregnancy, and I knew I would give my studio 2 months' notice when I decided I didn't want to teach anymore, couldn't teach anymore. But in my head, I said, I will keep spinning until it's not fun for me. And I with my first child, with Harry, I spun until 36 weeks. And it was just perfect timing in that it was the middle of summer, middle of spring. We were about to take a vacation, so I knew good time to stop just before vacation. But I kept going to other people's classes and keeping up my fitness levels. right up until the day before. And I think I was going to one academy actually the day before I gave birth.
Amazing. I love that.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
then with Gigi, honestly, it was the same thing. I actually was told by my doctor that I couldn't run anymore. I had placenta, I had a partial placenta previa,
Okay.
which is fairly common amongst women. And the advisement was keep spinning. You can keep spinning because it wasn't full placenta previa, but don't run anymore. And I adjusted my workouts accordingly. And I taught up until 34 weeks, and I kept spinning until the day before as well.
Wow, very cool. So for you, obviously, again, like guidance under doctors and then just really listening to like your body, and if it's still fun for you, you are still showing up,
Yeah.
kind of idea.
And part of it was with Perry, everything was a test. He's my firstborn. I had no
Right.
idea how my body was going to react to having a baby, to being, a woman whose body has gone through that whole crazy ordeal that you put your body through. I had no idea what it would be like. I don't know what it's like not to work out while pregnant. However, after having Harry, I know that it was possible to get myself back to what I was, if not stronger than what I was before I got pregnant. And that is what I took. That's exactly what I took with me with having Gigi, Imogen, because with Imogen, I was overwhelmingly exhausted. I did have the scare with placenta previa. There were a number of other concerns we had with her, but I knew that I would be able to come back stronger. And I knew that that was going to be good for me and for my family if I was a stronger person. And so when I had those days where emotionally or mentally I was just not into going to a studio, be it one academy, be it SpinCo, I knew the long term that this is a marathon. This is chestnut checkers. It's a marathon. Every day is going to be different. If I can put one foot forward, if I can even just give myself 30 minutes, I will feel better. And never did I leave a studio not feeling better. And that's what kind of I've kept in my head, in that if I can physically go, I can go.
Yeah, no, I love that. And using that phrase of like, this is a marathon, that was one thing. And the certification I took for pre and postnatal, it was like thinking of, you know, this we're preparing, we're helping these women prepare for a marathon, you know, and for like the biggest race potentially, like pretty much of their lives, right? And so, of course, like we're going to be training for if it was an actual marathon or whatever type of competition it is, we need to, you know, or we, you know, hopefully are putting a bit of training into preparing our bodies for this birthing of a child. So,
And it really is. It really, really is. And in any marathon, if you go in without training in a marathon, you're going to injure yourself.
for
And that
sure.
injury will potentially take you for the rest of your life to repair.
Yeah.
And I do believe it's the same with childbirth. If you are going in unprepared, you potentially are injuring yourself. And that will take a long time to get better. And especially the older you get, the more likely. And the same with running, same with marathons. It's a very similar mindset that one has to have in their heads.
Yeah, for sure. And so I know in your case, you already worked out, you taught, you instructed before pregnancy. So a little bit different for you, but for throughout both of your pregnancies, did you get pushback from friends, family, medical doctor, like, or was that
Never
easy for you?
medical,
Okay,
always
that's great.
encouragement. It was the medical field constantly encouraged me. Actually, like to the degree where I was like, okay, why aren't they telling other women this?
Right.
From friends and family, not discouragement, more just be careful, don't push yourself too much, listen to your body type of comments, but not the type of comments that help you to be stronger, the type of
Right.
comments that end up frustrating a person. And I think that came from often, I guess, the old belief that when you're pregnant, you should be resting and sleeping and letting your body sleep and be calm and all of these things. And I do not believe that is the case. And it was frustrating. It got very frustrating, and it got very frustrating to hear it many, many times. And it's something that I had to keep in my head of I'm doing this for myself, and I know my body, and I'm doing this for my children. I'm doing this for my husband. I'm doing this to be a healthy person. And I also use the often I it's funny for me, but I my kind of saying of keeping up a fitness regime with children is you want to dominate your kids for as long as possible because they are strong and they are fast and you need to be able to keep up with them. And that was it was just a funny way of kind
For
of keeping
sure.
it.
Yeah, and I think that is like obviously you being like very, like strong-willed in your convictions and like knowing that, this is the right thing for you, because I think that can be hard, right? When we're if we're not kind of built that way, or if we don't already have like a lot of experience before kids in fitness, that we can take those comments to heart, right? And we can feel like, oh yeah, like we should just be resting, or this isn't good for the baby or for our family. But I think that reminder too, yeah, of like the stronger and healthier you are, the stronger and healthier your kids, your family, like all of your connections are
100%.
gonna be, right? So yeah, that's just so important. And I know I get that from all of my clients that I teach that are moms pregnant. They're always like, their mothers or their mother-in-laws are saying like, oh my God, like you can't lift that. And I'm like, well, I was doing like 200 or 100-pound squats like at the gym, like I think I'm good.
I totally agree with you, and especially with lifting. And I will say this as a caveat for spinning, as a when I was pregnant, now even more so, spinning on its own is not enough. I think, to be honest, lifting is what really kept me in the state of health that I needed to be in to be prepared for childbirth, and it was having the strength to push if you're going through a vaginal delivery. And in the case of my son, we actually were in labor for 30 hours, and he was there were a number of complications with his heart rate and his neck turning and all of these things. And the OB, our OB, had said to me afterward, if I hadn't known how strong you were going into this birth, I would have done an emergency C-section. But I knew you could keep the stamina and that you could push as hard as you could when we needed you to. And I knew that you could get him out safely without having to do emergency C. And hearing that for me was just a wonderful feeling that I did something right because I was able to continue on a labor that might have gone surgery had I not been strong enough to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. That's super cool to hear. And I think for strength training, like in general, right? Even if we're not pregnant, right? That's such a thing that is, at least like I love to see at least 3 times a week that we are doing, or even if it's just once, like doing that base strength training, and then doing, if we don't love strength training, at least doing that, and then doing the things we love, like spinning, bar, Pilates, whatever on top of it. But honestly, like at this point, it's like strength training, I just find is like shouldn't be optional. Like
No,
it's
it
like
should be part of you.
eating protein, like it's like, or eating food, right? It's like we have to do that. We have to strength train too, just for like our baseline health. It's not like, oh, like I like to do this, so I'm gonna do it. Like, no, like it or not, like we gotta do it a few times a week. Yeah, and like again, pregnancy or not, something just like of a baseline health. But with spinning, that comes like a other little, I guess like challenge that we might hear a lot, or maybe you obviously have more experience with this as far as like heart rate, right? Because that's something as with pregnancy is keeping a heart rate in a certain range. Is that something that you just kind of dialed back intensity, or you found not to be like so true for you, or?
No, I definitely found it not to be so true. And this was also speaking with my doctor, but in just in general, how I was listening to my body. They're two separate hearts, your baby's heart and your heart. Your heart rate is not dictating your baby's heart rate. And that is something that is that the one has to keep in mind is you've got a separate body in this like alien structure that is not yours inside you. And the big one actually I find is heat. It's just making sure you're not getting too hot. If your body is used to increasing its heart rate, which my body is very used to, my baby is not going to be negatively impacted by that. If I feel that I'm getting faint, or if I feel that I'm not going to be able to keep the pace without potentially falling or doing something. Definitely that's something that I need to keep in mind. But the big one actually was more heat. And if I knew that a room was too hot and that I might be actually raising the temperature of my inner core, then yeah, that's an issue I need to deal with. But I've never found that in a spin studio. I would find that in a hot yoga studio, but not in a spin studio. And that's what I've always kept in my head is yeah, if I'm, if my heart rate is being so fast that I might trip on something, then yes, I need to slow down. But if my heart rate's beating fast because my blood is pumping and it's feeling strong and I'm you know, I'm getting the endorphins, no, that's that is fine.
Yeah. And that was like cleared by doctor as well. So they kind of said because you were so used to that level of
whatever
intensity.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And it was really the doctor was like, if your body is used to it and you are confident and happy that your body is going to maintain its strength, then do keep doing. And something that she actually did say that was very interesting, and again, I'd be curious to have, she said it as a medical doctor, but I would be curious to read up more on it. She had said when my babies were born, when we spoke about how sleep training is going, and feeding and just general digestion and whatnot, she has found that her patients who are more active through pregnancy end up with babies with more developed digestive systems, more developed lungs, stronger hearts. They tend to sleep better. They don't tend to be colicky. They tend to start to be able to digest various things sooner. And that is something that I've never gone to the other side where I've had a child that was colicky or had any of those. But I that is an interesting correlation that I would like to see more and learn more about.
Yeah, for sure. That is very interesting. So we talked about your, you know, journey with working out as you're pregnant. What has the postpartum journey been for you as far as getting back into workouts for you and then also getting back into teaching?
With my first child, it was much easier. I was able to, I've always considered working out to be a mandatory meeting in my schedule. And I did actually go back to the office very early with my first child, and my workout times changed. I wasn't able to do my early mornings anymore because that was the time that I get to spend with him waking up. I never did a late nights anymore. I definitely kept up at least 3 or 4 times a week of spinning and 3 to 4 times a week of weights and, adjusting for times and making the 9:30s suddenly became more popular for me and noons became more popular for me, knowing that my son was sleeping. And so I wasn't missing critical times with him, but I was able to get that, I think, extremely important mental time in for me.
Yeah.
And I do believe that helped me through my postpartum. I'm naturally an anxious person, and I knew that going in that could impact me postpartum. And having 45 minutes to an hour to myself where I'm sweating and able to think through things, I think really helped me get through that. With my second baby, it's definitely been a harder process to move forward with. Basically, time-wise, I'm finding it much more difficult to get time away. What I've managed to give myself is 3 to 4 times a week of some sort of workout. I still am teaching 2 of those times. Okay. And I've started doing morning yoga by myself every morning. And even if it's only 10 minutes, that is something that I've found to be critical for myself. And with strength training, if I can't get to a gym, I'm doing it by myself. And if that means it does mean I have bought myself different weights that I can use at home, but it's still a critical part of my fitness journey. And while I've had to sort of, I guess, say goodbye to my old self, where I did have all of that time to be active, I've been able to say hello to this new me, and I like it. I'm seeing a new body, a mother body. And I'm proud of it. And I think that's attributed to and this commitment that I've given my promise myself with my fitness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that because, like, I think a lot of the time we think like we're trying to get back to like the version of ourselves before baby. And it's like, that doesn't exist anymore, right? You're a mom now, and now you're a mom of two. And that setting yourself up for that expectation is unrealistic, right? And so then that's when we're going to feel like a failure. That's when we're going to feel discouraged. Whereas instead of setting yourself new, you know, new intentions of, you know, moving 4 to 5 times a week, even if it's not at a gym, but it's at home, or again, blocking out that little bit of time that you can have for yourself, even if it is just 10 minutes, is so much more productive mentally and physically for you now than setting yourself up for what your schedule was like before you became a mama too, because that's unrealistic.
Exactly. And two things to that. And it's actually, it's a woman, there's a woman at One Academy that I've seen so many times, and she has two boys. They're older now. I think they're like 12 or 13. And she is amazing. She is so strong, and she's so dedicated to her craft. And she is just such an inspiration to see at the gym. And I know that right now my children are under the age of two and things are crazy. I know that I can dedicate 2 to 3 to 4 times a week for a workout. My husband knows that that's better for me. He supports me in it. I've got an amazing community around me that will take care of a kid or watch a monitor if a kid is sleeping while I go. I've got that community. I think that's critical to have that net for you. But I also know that I will one day be that mom at One Academy who has those kids that are a little bit older, and she's right back to herself. And I'm sure she's went through what I went through. I'm sure she also had the same community around her to support her that I have right now. And I'm sure that she is very happy that she pushed herself to do that when her children were younger. I know it's not hard. It's not easy right now at all to do that, to leave the house for 45 minutes or an hour and go work out. But it's so important. It's so much more than just a workout. It's so important, and it's worth it. It's worth the struggle.
Yeah, for sure. And exactly. It's like, this is just like a period of time, right? It's not always going to be like this, but even in these times where it is struggling, like prioritizing those things that are just like so important for you, obviously in the moment, but you're also saying like, you know, down the road, right? To do. Amazing. So I would just love for insight into, for you, I guess, like, actually, wait, sorry, I had one more question postpartum. Mm-hmm. How, as far as your experience getting back on the bike, getting back under weights, like, was it the 6 weeks? Did you earlier, later for you? Like, how, and then even once you are doing that, like, kind of the shifts in how your body's functioning, just like, yeah, any thoughts kind of sharing in that area, of like the first few, you know, workouts back kind of idea?
Yeah. I mean, again, I was very lucky in that my deliveries with both my children were vaginal and there was limited tearing. I know TMI, but it is an important piece of the equation, in that I did have a relatively happy birth and my recovery was, to be honest, 2 weeks. Amazing. I again ensured that I did not have any promises to myself that I must be working out by this date, or I'm going to get back on the saddle on this date. No, it was, you know, in 2 weeks, I'll see. I'll go for a run. And if it lasts 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes. If it lasts 20, great. I'm going to keep it slow. I'm going to listen to my body, really pay attention if I start feeling things, doing things I'm not ready for. And really, that's what I did. And then, I was back on the bike about a month after, say maybe actually 3 weeks, because I started just going to other people's classes before I started teaching again. I went back to weight training, I think a week postpartum. And I went back to yoga 2 weeks postpartum, I'd say. And I did it because I felt that my body was ready, and that mentally I needed that time again. And it felt so good. And that really was it. If it didn't feel good, I wouldn't have done it again. Yeah. And it's been consistent since. Yeah.
Incredible. What would you say to someone as far as helping them, like, being able to listen to their body in the sense of like, does it feel good or not? Because I find this is something that I always like always come across with my clients, and especially if they're going through this transition where they don't like really trust what their body is saying, right? And not really trusting if it's feeling good or not. Is there anything that you would like to share to help with that, like trusting?
Yeah. I mean, I think it comes from the fact that it's all anecdotal, and there just isn't that much, there aren't that many women talking about it just yet. So if you're trying to trust your body, but you don't have anyone else to look to say like, is this good? Is this a good feeling or a bad feeling? One thing I did make sure of myself is if I'm tired, keep going. Like if it's because I'm tired that I don't want to do this, if that's the reason, no, that's you're always going to be tired. You're right. Always going to find a reason to be tired. That should not be a reason. If I'm feeling lightheaded or if I felt lightheaded, yes, stop, sit down, give yourself a break. If I'm doing a jump and I feel like that jump, just it landed weird, my belly wasn't loving it, don't jump. Just lift your front up to your toe, down again. It's almost like you're asking yourself a question every time you do something. Like, did that feel okay? Okay, no, it didn't. Okay. Or was it just that I'm tired? Because if it's just that I'm tired, then keep going.
Right.
But and I also, as I got bigger, I made sure to make adjustments. So I wouldn't eat without question. So specifically to spin, I started raising my handlebar up. I started bringing the bike, the seat and the handle closer to me. So I was sitting up more straight. With strength training, I didn't lower the weights by any stretch of imagination, but I didn't jump. I would walk up the blocks. I wouldn't jump off the blocks. I'd make sure that if I'm pulling something that I'm really paying attention to my form, listening to how I'm sitting and how I'm bracing myself to pull something so that I know that I'm not going to pull from my back, that I'm pulling from my core. So just, it's so hard to trust yourself if you don't have the people to show you how to trust yourself.
Yeah.
But it's really, And my baby's losing it in the background.
No, you're good. We'll wrap up soon. But yeah, that's really helpful. And I do think that is a piece, right? Obviously you had the base, like, you know, knowledge before becoming a mom, before going through the pregnancy. So it's like, you know, either obviously starting with that and really like getting into training, whether it's strength training and other forms, and really, you know, going through those motions before becoming a mom, becoming pregnant, so that you know what that feels like, getting, you know, expert help if needed and desired. And then like that also will give you a baseline of like, okay, like this feels that way when you're not pregnant, you know, okay, does that feel normal and good for you now? You know, once you're pregnant. So, you know, obviously definitely helpful to have those like reps under you before becoming a mom.
And I also do think that going to the classes, like going to class like your class or like a number of the classes that I've had in the Toronto area, tell the instructor that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And make sure that instructor is confident in how they teach, that they can give you the options and give you the confidence that you need. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things is that a good instructor won't deter you from being active. They'll provide you with the options that you need and the confidence that you need. And that's what I think any woman going into this journey and continuing their fitness needs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for sure. It is just like the confidence of that. And I know for me, like how I handle a lot of it is really trying to prompt that, like, well, how does it feel for you, right? Versus just telling you, because I know there's always like these arbitrary times where it's like, okay, you don't do a plank anymore, or you don't, you know, whatever. And it's like, And I know for some, it's like, yeah, okay, some of my moms like have a hard time going on their back, like into the fridge. Some don't, right? So it's like, it's not going to be a black or white answer. It really is like you're kind of prompting those questions, just as you mentioned, like, okay, how does that feel to you, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, instructors kind of doing that as well for them and not just being like, oh, you're this much along, you can't do this, 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 and this, right?
And do your research too. Like I researched a lot on how to do core and how to do core workouts and how to do plank while pregnant and what the modifications are. Like, you don't need to listen to your mom or your older sister who are going to tell you not to do it straight off the bat. Do research, look into it. There is research out there, and it does show how we can be super, super strong and keep those exercises and do them safely.
For sure. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, coming along a lot these days with a lot more research and a lot more, as you said too, like, that's wonderful to hear, like going through the medical system and being really encouraged the whole way. Like, that's wonderful.
Yeah. That's where the most encouragement from was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Is there anything else that you would share for a mom going through this journey and wanting to stay consistent with her health and fitness and her workouts?
No, I think just knowing that the critical things are getting that community behind you to support you. And the working out while you're pregnant, it will bode extremely well for you in the weeks that starting your postpartum. And it's those first few postpartum weeks, I find, that really determine how your postpartum is going to go as a whole. Because when you're new to this and your child is crying and you're exhausted and you don't know what to do and you feel like your body's falling apart and your mind's falling apart, if you've had that base of fitness, and which is both mental and physical health, you know where you can go to get that back. And that's what I found was so important for me. And I find it's even more now with my little one. And I just, I want women to know that.
Yeah. 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 That's so beautiful.
Right,
did you? And just like, I think that too, with your postpartum journey, that's interesting because of just so much. It's usually like that 6 weeks, right? Of like doing nothing first till 6 weeks. And I know when I have clients, I'm like, you know, obviously do what you feel comfortable with, talk to your doctor, blah, 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 you know, cover all the bases, but also like, you're allowed to start doing some movements and listening to your body as you go. Like, again, for so much of the mental 100%. Health too, right? You know, kind of guiding with some simple movements they can start. But it's just like, it doesn't need to be like 6 weeks and then, you know, start. No. It's like, okay, like, let's get curious, right? Again, like listening to your body, trying some things, see how it goes.
And also, we know that our bodies do better when moving. That's how they heal. You have to move. I'm not saying, you know, start training for your Ironman.
Right.
But go for walks, do some stretches, try to get your heart rate moving a little bit.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot.
Yeah.
You'll stop if you're not happy.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. That trust, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. I love this conversation. Thank you so much for your time and your vulnerability. This, I know, will help women out there. And I'm really happy to have this conversation with you because it just needs to continue. Like, we're going in the right direction, and we just need to continue to strengthen and empower ourselves.
Oh, and if you ever want to have me back, I'm sure Gigi will be just the same as she is right now, but it's fun. And I really, really appreciate what you're doing right now, because I think it's important for so many women, including myself. And you really did give me so much strength through my pregnancies. And
aww, thank you.
So excited to pay it forward and hopefully help some others.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. And then where can they find you? So you're teaching over at SpinCo. So they can, if they're in
Teach
Toronto,
over at SpinCo,
they can head on over there.
SpinCo at Queen and Carla. And you can find me on Instagram at Kendra Teal and ask me anything.
Amazing.
And you'll hear Gigi.
I love it. This is perfect. Thank you so much, Kendra. And we'll chat to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye.